You're a little too small to be calling me names. I'm about to knock that smirky little grin right off of your face. I could kick your ass. Jack your jaw, put your pad in the dirt, boy. Yeah, I have a ball.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
Somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
And I want the rest of you cowboys to know something. There's a new sheriff in town.
Traffic jam.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All righty, and here we are. Wow, here we are. Let me turn that down a little bit. I keep forgetting to do that. That ought to be a little bit better. And here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. 26th of July. It's a Wednesday. Hopefully in the next week or so I can get word on my other responsibilities on Wednesday, and we can go back to coming on at 8 o'clock and get a little more uniform here. But until that is announced, we will continue to come on at 8:30 on Wednesdays. I don't like it any better than y'all do, but it's the way it is right now. So, let me check the chat room here and see. Well, God, got a handful of anonymous in there. They must have, some of them must have heard we were talking about Glock triggers tonight. Super Daughter's in there. Good to see you, sweetheart. Zardos, I got your message, but I, for some reason, I can't open it. I'll open it on my phone on a break or something. I don't know what's going on with that, but NM Glock. Now, I know why NM Glock's here. He's getting to be a regular fixture, though. Good to see you always, all of you. So, a couple of major things we want to talk about tonight. I promised everybody we'd talk about Glock triggers. That's something we've never really covered. And I'm still not going to cover everything that goes up to our level 4 trigger. But we're going to talk about basic tuning and smoothing it up and getting it square. That's one of the major problems that people have with the Glocks is their triggers suck, especially if you're used to, a 1911, you're used to anything. But a finely tuned 1911 that breaks like a piece of fine crystal china is a far cry from what a Glock is. A Glock will never be what a 1911 can be. It's just a completely different style, different action, different everything. So don't think that we're going to be able to make it a 1911 trigger. But before we start on that, there's something right now that's more important to talk about. I think, let's see, is Susie B in here? Excuse me, dadgummit. Susie B is not in here. Why is Susie B not in here? Susie B asked me a question earlier on a private message here, and she needs to be here. Maybe she's listening, just not in the chat. Well, we're going to talk about it anyway. I guess if she's interested, not here, she'll be able to go to the podcast and check it out there. And that is the talk we have going around of a constitutional convention. CONCON, they call it. And there's a few people, quite a few people, too many people, that think that a CONCON would be a great idea. Thank you, Yakima Glock. Get her in here. And on the outside, it could be. But the problem with the Constitutional Convention, you know, just like when the first Constitution was written, there was supposed to be certain guidelines that were followed, and they couldn't do it in 1787 or whatever it was. I don't know what makes them think we're going to do it now with the way the Constitution has been perverted and diluted and everything else here. The problem with the CONCON is that once that meeting convenes, the Constitution that we have, for all intents and purposes, is pretty much null and void.
they're rewriting it. That's the purpose of being in there. So some people think that, well, we have these 27 amendments and the Constitution is good. Let's get rid of some of the outdated stuff and let's get some things squared away here and keep everything the way it is. And if we could assure in some way that the Constitution, at least the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, would remain the same, we could probably work around it a little bit. We could probably do something. But once that meeting convenes, there is no guarantee that anything is going to be right. Everything goes. Anything goes. When that meeting starts, they can take any amendment, any part of the Constitution. You know what people think of our Constitution. Now, we have people, we have cops, we have lawyers, we have judges, we have legislators, we have presidents. Lots, all up and down the line, not just the one now or not just the one before him, that think in their own feeble mind somehow that they are abiding by the Constitution. And in some manner, maybe they are. And in their minds, they think that they're doing a wonderful thing. And I hate people that say, well, I believe in the Constitution. We should follow the Constitution, but there are no buts. When you say but after Constitution, that's where you lose me. We're done. that's right, Casper Mountain. They can't even decide on that. So there cannot be any buts. When we're talking the United States Constitution, it is what it is. It is carved in stone. And I don't know how to put this. I don't know how to make it any plainer. This is where I get so frustrated. I stood up in a city council meeting about 5 years ago, and we were talking about school kids and Super Daughter, we'll see you. Sorry you're leaving so early. Glad you dropped in here for a little while anyway. And we were talking about school kids and something, I don't remember what it was, but there was a constitutional issue there. And I asked this guy, he's a member of my church, he's a pretty good guy, I get along with him all right. And I asked him about the constitutional issue. I can't even remember what it was now. But he said exactly that. He said, yes, we plan to abide by the Constitution, but... And I cut him off right there. I said, this conversation is over. If you can't... There are no buts when we talk about this. I said, you guys need to get together and decide you're either going to follow the Constitution or you're not. And let your constituents know, one way or the other, so that they can decide if you're going to be working here anymore. I did the same thing, and I've got that one on video. It's on YouTube, where I talked to a lawyer, or a guy, that, not a lawyer, a judge, a prospective judge. He was at this meeting, and he was running for a local judge there, and stood up and told him the same thing. And that's right, Doc. Rights do come from the people say constitutional rights. Your rights are protected by the Constitution. The rights come from God at your birth. Even if you don't believe in God, there are basic human rights that come with being born and being a basic human. You don't even have to believe in God to understand that there's a right to self-defense. There's a right to basically the Bill of Rights there. These things have been put together. And good night, Anonymous, whoever you are. So anyway, this Constitutional Convention, if that were to happen, if it happened the way it was supposed to be, I could live with it. But there are no protections. There's no guarantee that this is going to be done by, it's set to a certain standard. And they had standards at the first Constitutional Convention when the Constitution was first written, and they didn't follow it. So I am extremely concerned that they could take any amendment. You know that we have, 435 legislators in there, and they're all not on our side. Even some of the ones that claim to be on our side think that there are certain parts of the Constitution that could be tweaked and changed. And once this starts, there's going to be a feeding frenzy. And now, if they decide to change something, two-thirds of both houses have to agree on it. And then I think three-quarters of the, Senate? Anyway, three-quarters of them have to ratify it. So there's a little bit of protection there, but not enough to make me happy, not enough to make me comfortable. So I am scared to death of a Constitutional Convention. I could be wrong, but it is highly doubtful. Doc, I disagree with your statement that the Constitution is supposed to protect those rights, but it has done a piss-poor job. No, it has done a fine job. It is us that have done a poor job. The Constitution is, at this point in time, until Jesus comes back to reign on the earth, that is as perfect as it can get. It's done a great job, but it's still a piece of paper. It's just a damn piece of paper. It's all it is. It has no power to do anything if we or somebody doesn't enforce the provisions of it. So, Casper Mountain, and good to see you in here tonight. It's been a while, by golly. But yeah, the 16th Amendment. A lot of argument, a lot of discussion about the 16th Amendment, whether it was properly ratified, and so if you try to use that for an argument about not paying income tax, it's not going to fly. Thank you, Casper Mountain. Yeah, the legislators of three-quarters of the states. So if this 16th Amendment thing, well, I don't want to get started off on that, but... Yeah, Yakima Glock, I agree. Anyone should be scared. Any conservative. I wouldn't say anyone, because there are a lot of people on the other side that would be tickled to death to get a Constitutional Convention underway here. On our side, okay, Doc, I get you. On our side, anybody that claims to be conservative, libertarian, whatever version of a conservative you want to be, should be scared to death of a con. The other side, not so much. So, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. In Radio Doc, it's very much... And we've had this discussion so many times. Where is the line drawn? The line has been crossed and moved back so many times. where is that line where the American people will say, stop, right there. We're done. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Starting right now, things are going to change. And then it could. I still firmly believe that this could be turned around without bloodshed, but it's going to take people that will stand up and take that risk of being thrown in jail and people, the Ammon Bundys and Lavoie Finicums and the whole Bundy bunch and all those that are in jail right now, all those guys that have stood up against the federal government, they're going to lose. They're losing bad. And we're watching them. Greg Burleson got sentenced to, 68 years today. Last I heard from Bill Keebler, they're looking at 95 or 96, 98 years, something like that for him. And it's just heartbreaking that this is going on and these judges are just doing whatever in the hell they want to. And you know, we see all these posts on Facebook. We see all these people that get it, you know, people like us that understand, we get it. And there's just furious posts on Facebook. And there's supposed to be a certain system of checks and balances set up in this country that is just not working. You know, there should be Supreme Court justices looking over the shoulders of these people in Nevada. These two judges that are the one that was over the Hammonds. That sent them to jail. That's also the same one that sentenced one or both of the guys that were sentenced today. One or two. I don't know how many were sentenced exactly, but both of them got, the ones that I saw got exorbitant sentences. And then there's that other judge in Oregon. I can't remember her name. Any other time I'd be able to think of it, and now I'm pissed and I can't think, so... But it seems that there'd be someone above them that'd be looking over their shoulder and say, wait, you know, you can't do this. This is totally against what you took an oath to do. Totally against the document that you took an oath to uphold and protect. You can't do it this way. Just stop right now. This has to be reversed. You have to start over. But we don't see any of that. I don't know. I know that a certain number of Americans are getting very, very frustrated, very angry. I just don't know when or if they're going to get frustrated and angry enough. If enough people stood up and take any given subject, any topic, whatever, any law, any policy, and it was not complied with across the nation, it would change. If they found out that 300 million Americans, or 200 million Americans, 100 million Americans, were starting to get it, and didn't comply with some, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever it may be, seatbelt law, whatever, I don't care, take your pick. And the whole nation decided not to comply with this, it would go away. It'd be just like CB licenses. When all the hundreds of thousands of radio operators out there with CBs decided that they didn't need a license and wasn't going to do it, then the FCC said, you know what? I think the only way we can get out of this and save face is just to take that law out, because we cannot stop them. The same thing's going to happen to GMRS at some point. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I want to tell you all a little bit about Bobby. It's not looking good for Bobby and Bridget. You guys know where the numbers are at. We've posted them several times. Hopefully some of you have called and written those numbers down and continue to call. You need to let these people know in Posey County, Indiana, that the world is watching them, that there are eyes on them watching to see what they plan to do to this family. I got a note earlier from Bobby that said that they spoke to an attorney in D.C. that turned out to be a pretty good guy, but the Indiana lawyer that they had is no good. They said it appears that the bottom line is that their fate is sealed. He said, we pray that God intervenes in a mighty way. We've done all that we could and remained safe. We will await what comes. They will either let us alone or what will be years, or they'll raid. I'm not sure what that means, but he said calls are still appreciated, letting them know that everybody's watching them. When the calls quiet down and people are not watching them and holding them accountable anymore, that's when they'll move in. And we all know that. So don't let up on the phone calls. All right. Let's take a... By the way, Liberty Lounge coming up Friday. We're going to have this new country artist that I have become so very fond of. We're going to have quite a bit of his stuff. He's got some damn good music out there. Casper Mountain, yes. We're talking about Natty Bumpo. Yeah, maybe you haven't kept up with them for the last three or four shows we've been talking about. They are planning to take his and Bridget's children away and give them to the biological father, who is an absolute pedophile monster who has done terrible things to those kids. And Bobby said that they absolutely will not comply, that if they come for those kids, that they will meet resistance. And that's going to be a sad day. It's not going to turn out good for anybody. So if... maybe during the break I can go and find those phone numbers and post them again. If anybody has those numbers for me, post them up there, would you? And save me having to hunt that down. So I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to take a little break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Glock triggers. There's a lot of things that people don't understand about Glock triggers. I'm going to help you to understand that.
I'll be back.
You're coming on, Johnny! And hell's coming with me, you idiot! all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. So help me God. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution.
That's what I like to see. Bullseyes every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And we are back. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about smoothing out these Glock triggers a little bit. They are horrendous from the factory. If you're for a new shooter that doesn't know any better, you can probably live with it. For some of us that's been around for a while and know what a fine trigger is like, Glock ain't it. They're awful. They're not the worst in the world by any means. There are some out there that's worse, but not very many. So let's figure out how we're going to. Okay, stand by just 1 minute here. Casper Mountain, the message is basically make it short and sweet in the matter of Bobby and Bridget Black and their children, that the world is watching you and hoping that you'll do the right thing. They are a fine Christian family. They raise their kids properly. There is absolutely zero justification to let those kids even visit the biological father, much less be turned over custody to them. They decided to give custody to the father after Bobby and Bridget said that they will not comply and that they would resist. And that's when they decided to give the kids back. At first, it was going to be unsupervised visits with this monster who put the oldest boy, there's a boy and two girls, 12, 9, and 7. They put the boy in the dryer, clothes dryer, and turned it on, beat him with an extension cord. They're just a long list of things that I read on the air the other night. And Bobby and Bridget said, absolutely not. They are not going back to him. So that's what the message is right now. All right, let's get on with the Glock triggers. The first thing you're going to have to do is take your Glock apart to get to the trigger. So let's start with let's just start from scratch here. The first thing you need to do, take the magazine out, check the chamber, make sure it's empty, point it in a safe direction, and pull the trigger. Do not put your hand over the muzzle, as several people have done and shot themselves in the hand.
point it in like you're going to shoot it, and hopefully it won't shoot because you've checked the chamber, and pull the trigger. Once the trigger is pulled, put the tang of the weapon into the web of your hand between the thumb and forefinger, wrap your four fingers over the top of the slide, and make a fist. That's going to pull the slide back about 3/16 of an inch or so. When you do that, reach up there right under the over the top of the center of the trigger guard. You'll see what's called the slide lock. Some people call it the takedown lever. It is not a takedown lever. It's the slide lock. That goes through to both sides. It's one piece. You want to take your thumb and probably your middle finger or your forefinger on the other hand and pull that down evenly all the way down. And then slide the slide right off the front of the frame. Okay? Lay the slide to the side for right now. And we're going to work on some parts that are in the gun here. There's a lot of things that you can do, and it would take quite a while to do all of the things. We have four different levels of trigger enhancements that we do on Glocks. 1, 2, 3, and 4, plus an adjustable over-travel stop that can be used on any of those levels. So let's just go with the level 1 trigger right now. Maybe we'll do one of the other ones here later. But we need to further disassemble the gun. So take your Glock punch or any 3/32 punch. You have, if you have a third generation gun, or a generation 2.5, or a fourth generation, there are three pins in the Glock. You can see the three from the side. Two of them are right above the trigger. One of them's in the back, under the tang. If you have a first generation, which is unlikely, or a second generation gun, you have two pins. One up over the trigger and one in the back. So we're going to assume right now that you have at least a generation 2.5 or later. There's two pins. The top one, the smaller of the two, that pin goes out first and goes back in first. Just push there. There's nothing holding it in but friction. Just push it straight out with your punch. Okay, now the next part's a little bit trickier to explain when I can't show you. Do not drive that next pin out. I knew a guy in New Mexico that used to have the what turned into Southwest Shooting Authority. I bought the shop from him. That he just drove it out. Couldn't figure out how to get it out. He just drove the pins out. Every time somebody brought a gun in to have something installed, he just drive it out. Do not drive that pin out. What holds it in is a little spring on the, the spring pushes the slide release, or the slide stop, as some people call it, which I guess is the correct term for it, and locks that pin in there. So in order to get this out with a minimal amount of problem, take your punch. Now, whether you're right-handed or left-handed doesn't matter. I'm going to explain this in a way that I think is easiest for both right and left hand. You've got the pin left to right. Doesn't matter on these pins. The minimum Glock, they're not tapered. It doesn't matter which side you go. But left to right is easier because you have less distance to go that the slide stop is holding it in. So, yeah, you want to go from the left to the right. So you lay this frame down in your hand. What I do is put my forefinger into the magazine well, right under the, into the magazine well, right under the slide stop lever, okay? And it's laying in the palm of my hand. By doing this, I can take my forefinger and my thumb and wiggle the slide stop lever. Okay? What I want to do is take that punch and I want to push this lower pin out from left to right. I'm going to push it down the way I'm holding the frame right now. In order to do that, I'm going to have to wiggle that slide stop lever a little bit. What I'm going to do is push it fore and aft. Push it towards the front, push it towards the back, wiggle it around a little bit, and that big pin will pop right out of there. You just push it straight through. Don't drive it. Throughout this procedure, use 0 degree of force on anything in this gun. If it's too hard and you're having a problem, you think you need to get a hammer or you something and use some force, then you're not doing something right. This thing goes together, is held together very easily, and if you do it right, everything slides right out. Okay, you take that pin out. You got both pins out now. Take your slide stop lever and set it to the side. Take your Glock punch or whatever punch you're using and lay it on the top of the frame on the right-hand side, right in front of that right in front of the, forgot what the hell you call the little protrusion sticking up there. Anyway, stick it up there and stick the end of your punch under the locking block. The locking block is the silver part that's sitting in there between the magazine well and the two inserts that the slide rides on. You see what I'm getting at there? Silver piece with two legs on it, about 3/4 of an inch long. Lay your pin on the side of the frame in there and just kind of pry that up just a little bit and lift your locking block out and lay it to the side. Then you got to take your back pin out. In what order you take that one out doesn't really make that much difference. Push the very back pin out, which is holding the trigger housing in. You should have all three pins out now, or two if you have a generation two or earlier. Put your forefinger, your index finger, under the ejector, your thumb on the back of the trigger housing, and just pull that trigger mechanism out of there. If it's a little tight because you haven't cleaned it for a while or whatever, then lay your punch across the frame with the punch underneath the ejector and just pry that trigger housing out a little bit. As soon as it moves at all, if it moves a 16th of an inch, that's plenty, and you'll be able to pull it right out. All right. Now you have, let me catch up here with what we've done. Okay, here goes the top pin out. Okay, I'm going to wiggle the slide stop lever, push the bottom pin out, slide stop lever comes out. Make sure your pins don't roll off the table, so you do the Glock armorer's crawl looking for it. Push the back pin out. The back pin is plastic. We'll talk more about that before we get done. The other two pins are steel. Okay, I'm going to pry the locking block out, lift the trigger housing out, or the trigger mechanism out. And now we are to the heart of the trigger of what we're doing here. Okay, in order to take the trigger off of the trigger housing here, to separate them, again, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, it's easier if you hold the trigger housing in your left hand. Get a hold of the trigger bar, as they call it, the piece with the trigger on it, with your right hand. Lift up slightly and turn that thing counterclockwise. Don't force it. Use 0 degree of force on this. Turn it counterclockwise, and you'll see that trigger bar will pop right out of there. Now, if you just hold the trigger bar in your right hand, and excuse me, hold the trigger bar in your right hand, let go with your left hand, you'll see the trigger housing is dangling by a little spring. Take your trigger bar, point the metal part of it, the point of it there upwards, and just slide that off of that spring. You can leave the spring on the trigger housing if you want. It's not hurting anything. Okay, now you've got the trigger bar separated. You have two parts here. Now you have a trigger connector. That's the little thing that looks like a leaf spring there. It actually is a leaf spring. That's its function. On third generation guns and above, there should be, on most of them, not all of them, all the newer ones are that way, but there should be a hole in the back to push that trigger bar out of there, that trigger connector out of there. If it does not have that hole, don't fret. Just take a little screwdriver or the tip of your pocket knife and slip in underneath that trigger connector towards the bottom, not towards the top. If you're doing it towards the top, there's a possibility that you could bend the connector out a little bit. It's not a deal breaker. It's not going to kill you, but there's no reason to do it if you don't have to. And just pull that connector out. Now, the trigger housing still has that spring attached to it. Should, that's fine. Just lay it to the side. And we're not going to do anything to it for what we're doing now. So, let's start with the trigger connector. There's, as you hold the connector in your left hand, we're not even going to talk about 42s and 43s. That's a whole different trigger model, a whole different trigger assembly there. If you hold the trigger connector in your left hand with the little leg at the bottom pointing forward away from you, you'll see a little round, little peg on the top with the little 90 degree bend on it. There's a shelf there. If you look at the very top of this, there's a little 90 degree bend. There's a little shelf underneath there. You want to polish that. The easiest way to do this is to take a piece of something with very sharp angles, like a piece, not a piece of angle iron. There are certain types of stones, you know, sharpening stones, or trying to think of what we use. I've got a sharpening stone back there that has pretty much razor sharp square edges on it. It works perfectly. And you want to take the finest sandpaper or emery cloth that you can find, and you want to set this down on that square edge and polish the bottom of that little shelf. Are you with me so far? You need to pay attention to this. You need to do this in good light because you cannot change the angle of this, okay? It needs to stay square. All you're doing is cleaning up the little burrs and stuff there. The longer you spend on it, the better it'll be. But the most important thing is to get any burrs and sharp edges off there and just polish it up. Ideally, you want it to look like a mirror when you get done. If you want to spend that much time with it, that's where it would be. When you get into the getting your trigger just as fine as you can get it, the better more time you spend on this, the better it's going to be. You also want to polish the face of that underneath that shelf. You want to get the under edge, the bottom edge of that shelf, but also the body of the connector under that shelf down about a quarter of an inch. That's where the connector and the trigger bar, that's where they mate. That's where the trigger bar rubs on the connector. Okay, that needs to be, have a mirror finish on it. All right, once you get that done and you're happy with it, set it to the side, and let's look at the trigger bar for a minute. Susie B., stop. Jeez, can't leave you alone for a minute. We're obviously going to run a little overtime tonight because I want to get this, I don't want to stop in the middle of this. All right, you have your trigger bar. There's a few things we need to do with the trigger bar. Let's start with the very point, if the trigger is to your right, hold it in your right hand, with the trigger pointing down, the furthest point to your left, the little head there that looks like the head of a falcon or something, whatever, I don't know what you want to call it. Anyway, the furthest point away, there's two places on there you want to polish. One is the rounded edge of that, the part that's pointing upwards. You want to polish that again to a mirror. Do not change the configuration of this in any manner. Excuse me. I'm not going to mute my mic when I have to do that. You don't want to change the angles or configuration in even minutely. All you are going to do is polish that up. The back side of that, the back side would be the side that's farthest away from you. That's the part that where the connector and the trigger bar rub together. That's that mating surface we were talking about a while ago. You want to polish that. When you can look in it and comb your hair, it's perfect. Okay, you got those two surfaces. Now, back towards the trigger, you see the part that the little protrusion that sticks up above everything else. You need to polish that. Only the very top of this. This is what depresses your safety plunger. Been so long since I looked at the instructions, I don't remember all the proper terminology here, but anyway. The angled edge of that and the little rounded top, polish it smooth as glass. The more time you spend on this polishing, the nicer your trigger is going to be. Triggers don't necessarily have to be light to be good. As long as they're smooth, they're okay. Light and smooth is awesome. But I would rather have a hard trigger that is smooth than a light trigger that is rough. Firing pin safety plunger, that's what I'm looking for. Alright, we've got three different things that we've polished so far on the trigger bar. There's two more. Turn it up with the protrusion we were just talking about, the firing pin safety plunger depressor there, whatever the hell it is, pointing towards you and the trigger pointing down. And you're going to see what's called a cruciform. Looks like a cross. Okay, there's two things you want to polish on that. One of them you can do fairly carelessly without too much worry about messing anything up. That is the farthest right-hand side of that cruciform. That's the part that goes in the trigger, trigger housing, creates the drop safety. You want to polish top and bottom of that. The part that you're looking at as you look at the cruciform and the part directly opposite of it on the other side. You only need to polish that back to where it meets the body of the cross or the cruciform. You don't need to go any farther than that because nothing else touches there. Now here's the part that you want to be careful with. Ever so careful. Because if you change this, you could have a problem. Don't try to second guess me on this. I'm telling you, if you change the angle of this, you could create a problem. That is the face of your, what would be on a conventional weapon, it would be called the sear. That's the part that catches the striker. You want to be very careful. You want to turn that up with the trigger facing up. You want to get on a good flat surface, good flat hard surface, very hard surface, very smooth with that emery cloth again. and you want to run one direction, do not try to go back and forth with it. If you go back and forth, I promise you, you will change the angle if you keep going long enough. You take a good, strong light, take careful note of the angle of that, and run it one direction. I usually go push the how would I describe this? Holding the thing in my right hand with the crucible with the trigger up, I would push it to my left so that I'm basically putting it, yeah, full auto is a problem. I don't think it's a problem, but there's other people that do. And they're very ill-tempered, ill-mannered. I push that thing to where the, I don't know how I would explain it, but anyway, it doesn't really matter which direction you go as long as you only go one direction. Double check that. Just make a couple of strokes and pull it and make sure, get a magnifying glass and check and make sure that you're getting even coverage on that face. And if it looks like you're getting too much on one side, only do a stroke or two at a time. Check and see what part of it's shiny, and then make any corrections that you need to, and start over. Don't change that angle. Okay, is that clear enough? Okay. All right. Now, let's do a couple other things here. Pick up your sight. That's all we need to do to those parts for this level of trigger. They're fine for right now. Pick up your slide, take your recoil spring out of it, lift the barrel out of it, and we're going to do a little bit more disassembly here. So now you should just have the slide, no barrel, no recoil spring. Hold the slide in your left hand, open side to your right, muzzle down. Wrap it in your hand like you're holding the baton, running a race here, except you're going to put your thumb up on top of that black plate. Okay? Take your punch, stick it under the striker. You see the little, what they call, boot heel of the striker sticking out there? Stick your punch under there to where you're touching the striker and push down. You'll feel a little bit of spring resistance. Push down on that. Take your thumb. Push that little plate off of there. Keep your thumb on. Make sure that your spring loaded, I mean your ejector depressor or whatever it is, doesn't run away. Okay? Take the little plate, lay it off to the side. There's not a lot of pressure on that deal. It's not going to poke you in the eye or anything, but it could, well, I guess it could, but it could jump out of there. So just leave your thumb on it when you take the slide cover plate off of it. All right, now put your thumb under the boot heel of the striker and just pull that assembly straight out. What you have now in your hand is the striker, the spring cups, the striker spring, and the, what do they call it, black, the spacer on there. That is all one assembly. At this point and for this level, we are not going to take this apart. It's unnecessary for this. The spacer sleeve. Thank you, Casper Mountain. The bottom side of that striker, I mean the boot heel of that striker, the part that mates up with the sear that we polished on the other, on the trigger bar, that would be the forward part of that. You can tell because it's shiny. You can see where the where it's been mating up with the Yakima Glock. I'm glad you guys can't see mine. I've become very negligent since I've started shooting Glocks. I found out they shoot when they're completely full of concrete and molasses and everything else. They never slow down, so I would become a little bit negligent in my cleaning. But, okay, we want to polish that up a little bit. Again, hard, flat surface, and don't go back and forth. That's the surest way to change angles and round edges. Just nice and straight, one stroke away from you on this flat edge, and polish that up. That part right there polishes like glass again. It will get very, very shiny if you spend some time with it. There's several other issues here with engagement and all that. We're not going to get into that right now. It's way too complicated, especially to do on the radio. All right, get that polished up. Set it to the side. Take your firing pin safety plunger. Push it. That's the little round deal in the almost in the center of the slide, right behind the ejection port. As you're holding the slide in your hand, open side up, muzzle towards you. There you'll see a little round button right there, about in the middle. Push that down with your thumb. Turn the slide to your right over your open hand. Wait a minute, we got to we didn't take the depressor plunger out. Go back up in the top where we pulled the spring out from, and you'll see either a white, a black, or a little tan button sticking up there, a little plastic button. Take your fingernail, thumbnail, and pull that whole assembly out. It will stay together and lay it to the side. We're not going to polish anything on it right now. Okay, now go back and do what I told you to start with. Put your thumb on the firing pin safety plunger. Turn it to the right over your open hand. Tap that a little bit, and the extractor comes out in your hand. Lay the extractor off to the side. Now, do that again. Turn it to your right. Tap it just a little bit, and you'll see this little plunger come out in your hand with a spring on it. That little spring is locked in place right there. We're not going to mess with that for this level of trigger enhancement. It's kind of locked in. Leave it locked in. Just leave it there. Don't mess with it, and that'll be the best thing. Now then, you want to get on that flat surface again, and you want to polish the face of this plunger. The part that you were looking at before you took it out, you want to polish that. This is the part that mates up with that little protrusion that we polished on your trigger bar. As you pull the trigger, that depresses this plunger and allows the firing pin to go forward, the striker to go forward. So the smoother that is, the better trigger you're going to have. Okay? All right, you've got that all polished up now. We're going to put this thing back together in reverse order. Put your plunger back in there. You can see how the extractor goes in. Push the plunger down again with the tip of your thumb, and put your extractor back in there, and let the pressure off with your thumb, and that the spring pressure of the firing pin safety plunger will hold that in there. Okay. Now, if you look at this extractor depressor plunger that we took out, it's steel. On one end, it's got a steel spring on it. Both ends look kind of the same, except one has a spring and the other one don't. Everything that you do in the Glock, it's steel against steel and polymer against polymer. So you're pushing this extractor depressor plunger in here, steel side first. That's going to be spring up. Remember I talked about the three colors of the... What with that little plastic button? That's called a spring-loaded bearing. They're different colors, different configurations. So the white one is 40 caliber, the black one is 9 millimeter, the tan one is 45 and 10 millimeter. So steel side down. Drop that in the hole that it came out of, and that goes up against the back of the extractor. The extractor. All right, take your striker assembly that we have not messed with. It's still in one piece. Spring-loaded bearings, spring, and the spacer sleeve. All right, drop it in the hole. Push it all the way down. You might need to, if your gun's a little dirty, if you're not cleaning it while you're doing this, you might need to push your firing pin safety plunger in just a little bit to make sure that the firing pin, the striker, goes down far enough. All right, now you can do this by, I don't know if any of you are following along trying to keep up with me or not, but there's a couple of ways you can do this. I do it with my fingers. Some people do it with a punch. That spacer sleeve, about 3/16, or about an eighth of an inch of it, is sticking up above the slide there. Okay, it's a pretty stiff little spring, but you're going to push that down with your finger. Go ahead and get your slide cover plate started in the slot there. Push that spacer sleeve down with your finger. Push your plate in just enough to hold that in. Now you're going to take your punch and push that spring-loaded bearing down a little bit and snap your slide cover plate in place. Okay, your slide should be back together now. Do not, at this point, some people get in that, they want to take your thumb down and flick that boot heel, your striker, and go click, 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 click. Don't do that, because you're putting hardened surface against hardened surface, and it creates damage in there if you do that very much. Don't do it at all. Okay? All right, put your barrel back in. Put your spring back in. When you put this spring in, look carefully. The way I do it, hold the open side of the slide up, muzzle towards you. This is how I do it. You can do it however you want to. But for the purposes of this demonstration, do it this way and you'll figure out how to do it right. Look at your spring, unless it's a, even if it's a 27 or a 26 or a 33, these springs all look pretty much the same. The fourth generations are a little bit different, but they're a telescoping type spring. But there's still a rounded button towards the front and more of a flat round edge in the back. The rounded button goes to the muzzle end. Insert it in the little pocket right under the barrel there where the small hole is. Okay, and push that in there until there's, if you look at the lug there on the barrel, there's two little shelves on it. One of them is flat and straight. The other one is curved a little bit, convex, concave. What would it be? Concave. That's where you want the little plastic button to go into that round edge right there. Make sure that's seated all the way down. It's important that that's completely seated. If you try to assemble this and it's come out halfway, the spring will still stay in there, but when you go to slam that in there and rack the slide, you're liable to break that little button. Okay, your slide is back together. Set it off to the side. Okay, let's put this trigger back together. You have... hold the trigger. You should still have the spring attached to the trigger housing. If it hasn't and you're putting it back on there, it needs to be with the ejector pointing to your right and up. This little spring needs to be, you see that there's two hooks on this spring. One of them goes one direction, the other one goes the other. So it needs to look like an S You've got the open side of this spring at the top that also faces to your right towards the extractor, the ejector. Dang it. Okay, hold that little spring with your thumb and forefinger. You see the little hole where it connects there? You want to work that back in there. Okay, when you get that in, you should be able to just hang the trigger housing off of the, just be dangling off of the trigger bar. You're going to put the trigger bar back in exactly the same way you took it out, only the opposite direction. You know what? It'd be easier. Let's go ahead and pop the connector back in there. You can put it in with that in there, but it's easier to do it with it out. So take your connector, just push it back in the hole, push it all the way in. Very simple, no trick to it. It's not at all hard to put in after the trigger bar is in, but it's still easier when you do it now. All right, take the trigger bar, turn it clockwise slightly, where that polished part there is going to go right in that slot in the trigger housing. Okay, and that now becomes one unit. Before we put this back in, take a little drop of grease or oil or something. I prefer to use something a little heavier, like I use Tetra gun grease on mine. You can use any bacon grease if you want to, but put a little bit of grease of some kind on the face of that connector where the trigger bar mates with the two polished surfaces that we put. She needs to have some lubrication between them. The Glock will run for many thousands of rounds with zero lubrication there, but your trigger's a little rough, and I would be negligent if I said that it wasn't bad for it, but I know a guy at used to be out at Front Sight that fired, I think he was at, I think he was at 35,000 rounds without a cleaning. He was running a Glock 35, and the gun itself had right at 500,000 rounds through it. He bought his ammo by the pallet, sitting in his garage, and that gun had about a pallet through it. And he was at 35,000 rounds without a cleaning. The most I've ever gone without a cleaning was about 3,000. They will run a long time without lubrication. That doesn't mean that you should do it. It just means that you can. You take some of these other guns without lubrication, take a Beretta 92 without lubrication, and you are done. Stick a fork in it, it's done. Two little drops of oil and you'll be back in business. All right. Let's take this part now, put it back in the gun. I don't think you can put that spring in upside down, Yakima Glock. You can put it in backwards. All right, take the trigger and point it down, and stick it down in the hole. Trigger housing goes in its little cavity there. Make sure everything is down all the way. Take your locking block. Some of your older guns have different style locking blocks. A little bit more difficult to discern which direction it goes. The newer ones, not difficult at all. The round holes go down, the two little legs go forward. Simple as that. Stick it into the recess where it came out of there. Think it, push it all the way down flush. All right. At this point, take your longer, skinny pin. Looks like kind of like a little dumbbell. It's got the two ends are a little bit bigger than the middle. Push it in the small hole in the top all the way through. What I do is take the butt end of my Glock punch and push that in until it's flush. That pin needs to go in first. If you don't, let me tell you what will happen. You're going to put your slide stop lever in there and then push that little pin in afterwards and put the gun together and everything is going to be just fine. You may find that the slide doesn't hold to the rear like it should. But And them Glock, you couldn't put it any better. That's exactly right. You know, the funny thing about Gaston Glock is he was not a gun guy. He had no idea. He had no clue. He just accepted a challenge. The Austrian army said, we need a new gun. No, not a new model. Son, listen to what I'm saying. Read my lips. We want a new gun. Something that hasn't been invented yet. That's what we want. And here's the specifications for it. And Gaston Glock said, well, I'll take that challenge. I don't know what a gun is, but whatever it is, we'll figure one out. So he got together with a couple of engineers over a bottle of peach schnapps one night and said, here we go. This is what we're going to do. I don't know about the peach schnapps part, but that's what I'd have done if I'd have been in his place. And so they put together this very radically designed, absolutely totally different than anything, so much different that it scared the hell out of most people, especially in the United States. Well, that ain't going to work. It's not going to last. That's ridiculous. It's plastic. Although it wasn't the first plastic gun, a lot of people think it was. It was the first successful plastic gun. Polymer gun. I shouldn't call it plastic, but... I see what you're doing. Yeah, they talking about that little spring. Yeah, come on, Glock. Okay, we've got the trigger bar in. We've got the top pin in. Okay, now it's time to put in the slide stop lever. Yes, Castor Mountain, we put the trigger group in. Trigger first, and then the trigger housing in its recess. Locking block, and then the top pin. Okay, again, with the slide stop lever in your right hand. It's not because I'm right-handed so much. It's because it's going in on the left side of the gun, and it's closest to me, and it's easier to see and easier to do it that way. So that would have the muzzle, the front end of the gun, pointing to the left, open side up. Slide stop lever in your right hand with that. Do you see a little spring on there? The little tip of that spring into that wire should be pointing up. And slide, if you look inside there, you'll see a little slot to push that in. Now you can see why we do the small pin first. It's because that spring slides up under that. If you shoot this gun, if you put the slide stop lever in first and then put that pin in and put it all together, the gun will function. It'll fire, but the slide will lock to the rear probably after every shot. So... Yakima Glock, the Remington Nylon 66 came out back about 1960, maybe even late 50s. No, probably 64, maybe 64, somewhere between 64 and 66. I'm not sure. But there was a handgun. HK came out with a handgun that was plastic before the Glock too. Okay, before you go any farther with this, you should be able to take that slide stop lever and flick it with your finger. No, you can't, not yet, because you don't have the bottom pin in. Okay, take your bottom pin, it'll go through the trigger, wiggle it around just a little bit, push that in with the corner of your Glock punch or something similar, gently, and you'll feel a tiny click, and you'll feel a little bit of, you'll feel it lock into place. When that's in there, take your thumb and flick that slide release lever, your slide stop lever. It should go up and sharply snap right down into place. Okay, if it does that, it's right. Now take your last little plastic pin. Remember I told you, plastic against plastic, polymer against polymer, steel against steel. This pin in the back touches no steel. It's polymer to polymer. There's nothing in the back that it touches that can damage it. Polymer pin, polymer hole, polymer trigger housing, polymer, polymer, polymer. The other two pins both contact metal in some way, so we need metal pins. Yeah, single shot Glock, that's right. Okay, You should have everything back together right now. Now, here we're going to put this back together. Hello, Rolex. We're going to put this thing back together now, again. And probably now because it is because I'm right-handed. The frame is in my right hand. Muzzle in front, pointing to my left. I'm actually holding it pretty much in a firing position, just with my finger not on the trigger. Trigger should be to the rear at this point. If you've been messing with it and doing stuff with it, and the trigger's facing forward, make sure the trigger is to the rear, as if you had pulled it. Alright, the only thing there is to put this together, you line up the two inserts, the two steel inserts with the in the back of the slide right there, and slide it all the way to the rear, past where it's not where it would rest there. You'll hear it click into place. Just push it back and turn it loose. Now there's another part of this that you could have done, that you might pull that back and turn it loose and the slide goes off on the floor, but we won't go into that right now. Yeah, Yakima Glock, yeah, I know what you mean. We've all done it. Okay, now there's a whole lot of other things. I can actually spend 8 hours doing this because I teach an 8-hour Glock Armors class. But this is just to get you a decent, nice, smooth trigger. It's not going to be much lighter than it was before. It'll appear lighter because it'll be a whole lot smoother. But it's going to be about the same weight. You know, there may be a few ounces different, but it won't be much. But it will be much, much smoother, and for a defensive weapon, it's fine. That's all you need. Make sure at this point, pull the slide all the way to the rear. Make sure it goes back and forth the way it should. Check your chamber. Make sure it's empty. Press the trigger. Point it in a safe direction. Trigger pulls properly. Hold the trigger to the rear. Do not allow it to go forward. You got that part? Do not allow the trigger to go forward. As you're holding the trigger to the rear, rack the slide back slightly, turn it loose, let the trigger go forward. If it resets properly, you did everything right. It's pretty hard to screw this up. There are a couple little things you can do that are very big no-nos. But just a little bit of instruction and following directions here, you shouldn't have any problem with it at all. And it's ready to load up, chamber around, put back in your holster. Okay, so I don't know if anybody got any good out of that or not, but it did wind up eating up almost an hour of time. So, okay, with all that being done, we'll be back for Liberty Lounge. Stand by here just a second. Let me get that up there. Be back for Liberty Lounge Friday. I hope some of you, all of you and your friends will join me for Liberty Lounge. We've got some new stuff coming up this week. Yakima Glock, I know what you mean. If it's good and clean, and depending on how level you're holding it, it'll lock back almost every shot. But yeah, I will do it multiple times. People just bumfuzzle them. What did I do wrong? And it's just a matter of putting that top pin in first. That's all you got to do. Okay. Well, we've had our little Glock lesson here for the day. I'm going to get on out of here, and I'll see you Friday. And thank you so much for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Good.
boxes long.